Good morning.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I know you just ate and you probably just want to sit and relax, but I'm going to ask you to stand, those that are able. Turn to your neighbor, your neighbors, and say, that stone didn't have a chance.
That stone did not have a chance.
Let me go ahead and also invite the young ones. You are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. Let's pause for just a moment and pray together. God, we thank you for, as we do each week, we thank you for the gift it is to gather together. And as we now, Lord, lean into and reflect on this story of your resurrection, may we hear not only what we have heard before, but what you are saying here now to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been around, you know I like poetry and poems. This is from Rainer Maria Rilke. God speaks to each of us as he makes us, then walks with us silently out of the night. These are the words we dimly hear. You, sent out beyond your recall, go to the limits of your longing. Embody me. Flare up like flame and make big shadows I can move in. Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror, just keep going. No feeling is final. Don't let yourself lose me. Nearby is the country they call life. You will know it by its seriousness. Give me your hand. And that is our invitation today. Not to understand, but to just keep going. To step into a story that we cannot fully explain. Because I think if we're honest, if I'm honest, this story, this claim that Jesus, who was crucified, dead, buried, was raised from the dead, this is not how the world works. This is not how things go. Death, we get it. Right? We have categories for it. We see it, we hear it, but resurrection, it doesn't fit our expectations. It doesn't follow the rules. And yet, it is this story that the Gospels tell. It is this story that the early church lived out. It is this story that has been handed down. Not as an idea, not as a metaphor, but as something that really happened. And that something calls us, invites us to live a life other. It invites us to a whole other way of doing life, a whole other way of being in the world. And so again, maybe this is our invitation. Not to understand, but to listen to the voices. To listen to those who first found themselves inside the story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, those who didn't understand but went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Mary, mother of James, Joanna, Salome, again, Peter and John. This is the story. Again, not because they understood, but because they just kept going, right? Just keep going. Don't let yourself lose me. Give me your hand. This is the story the Gospels tell. We find it here in Matthew 28 and verse 5. It says, we read, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He, Jesus, is not here. He has risen just as he said.'" From Mark 16 and 6, "Do not be alarmed, he," the angel said, "you are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified." And then again we read, "He has risen, he is not here." From the Gospel of Luke, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen." John 20 and 8, "He saw and believed." And then notice this next line, "They still did not understand. And yet they kept going." Right? Just keep going. We can add to those gospel voices that of Peter. 1 Peter 1 and 3, he writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." What is a whole new way? Again, a whole new way of doing life. "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." And so not, this is here and now. It's not just there and then, right? It's living, it's here, it's now, it's present. And it comes by way of, it says, the resurrection of Jesus. Not only Peter, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to those in Corinth, chapter 15, what is Paul's most complete and dedicated thought on resurrection? The opening line, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel." That's from the Greek euangelion. It's a loaded word. In the ancient world, it was not so much a religious word as much as it was a political word. It was used all throughout the Roman Empire when declaring victory or when announcing a new king. But notice here, Paul comes telling a different euangelion. He comes telling a different good news, right? The gospel, the good news, he says, it's not Caesar. It is Jesus. He says, Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the king. Verse 3, "For what I received," and again here, think euangelion, "for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Right? Again, meaning central to this story is that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he, Jesus, appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And then if we drop down, 15 and 58, Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore," meaning because of everything I have just said, everything I have just been telling you, "therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." That's present tense. Stand firm means here and now. Stand firm, let nothing move you. In other words, stay firm, let nothing move you from being centered on the resurrection of Jesus. He says here again, the resurrection of Jesus, it is central. And from that reality then, he says, "always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." The word labor here comes from the Greek kopos. It carries this idea of hard work, of strenuous activity. It's earthy, it's gritty, it's determined, it's persistent. And notice here Paul says it is very much connected to the reality of the resurrection. "Therefore," right, because of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, "always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain." In other words, John 20 and 8, they still did not understand. And yet Paul says, keep going. Just keep going. Don't let yourself lose me. Give me your hand. This is the story the Gospels tell. And this is the story that the early church lived out. And notice here how Luke tells that story. By way of remembrance for some from a number of years ago, Acts 4 and verse 32, it says, we read, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, verse 33, the apostles continued, right? Meaning they keep going, just keep going, to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, verse 34, that there were no needy persons among them. And notice again how Luke tells the story here, because Luke uses, as Mark often does, Luke uses here a literary technique, an ancient sort of rhetorical device known as interpolation. Interpolation is where you take one story, one thought, one idea, and you place it into the midst of another story, thought, or idea, so that the two are read as one. In Mark's gospel, we call it the sandwich technique, where it's sandwiched together. We read them, we see them in light of one another. And here, notice Luke places verse 33, the resurrection of Jesus, inside 32, sharing everything they had, so much so that verse 34, there were no needy persons among them. Point being, we have the centrality of the resurrection of Jesus intimately connected to the very real, practical, tangible, sacrificial care and compassion for others, for one another, for the other. The centrality of the resurrection is intimately connected to how we do life, how we do relationships, how we live in community together. Care and compassion, generosity, gratitude, benevolence, blessing. This is the story the Gospels tell. This is the story the early church lived out. And this is the story that has been handed down. Right here, right now. Right here in this room. In this space. Right here to you and me. Because more than understanding, resurrection is something to be lived. They still did not understand. Right? And so God says, just keep going. Don't let yourself lose me. Give me your hand. And so I want to invite us to consider and to think about, how is God inviting me into this story? How is God inviting me into this story? We could ask it like this. We could say, is the way of the resurrection at the center of my life? We can think about our actions, our attitudes. We can think about our connections, our encounters. We could ask, where is God inviting me to live the way of the resurrection today? In that activity, in that relationship, in that conflict, in that challenge. Where is God inviting me to live the way of the resurrection today? More specifically, we can think here of the early church. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. This one might hurt a little bit. What would it look like to not claim my possessions as my own? What would it look like to release the stuff that I am holding on to? Right? They shared everything. Translation, it is all a gift. All that we are, all that we have, it is all a gift. Everything they had, so much so that it says there were no needy persons among them. And so how is God inviting me to share all that I have? And again, we can think of our stuff. But what about time, energy, our attention, our showing up, our being present? What would it look like to share the gifts I have been given? And with that, maybe, what is one small step I am being invited to take today? Just one small step. They still did not understand. And so just keep going. Don't let yourself lose me. Give me your hand.